Sons of the Forge by Nick Kime. Read by Jonathan Keeble. The Vow.
What is the meaning of the sacrifice?
Firefather's words echoed around a hollow chamber, the deep bass of his voice rebounding off the walls of dark obsidian.
To live when others died,
his supplicants replied as one, solemnly, speaking with reverence and anger.
To never know the pain of our greatest betrayal, to never feel the bite of our reflected shame in the traitor's knife, to have never bled upon the black sands of Istvan V.
Silence fell as their voices faded into a dull murmur of half-echoes.
What is our purpose?
Firefather gripped the haft of a weapon and watched his brothers do the same.
To remain stoic and eschew all pride, to be the wardens and protectors.
Firefather stood. His armored form was reflected in obsidian, and his kneeling brothers mirrored him also.
And what is our curse?
He put to them, his voice rising as the mace head of his Crozius burst into flame. 50 warriors stood coldly in its burning aura, their drake scales seemingly alive in the snapping flames.
To never know glory, to be denied vengeance.
Firefather held his burning Crozius aloft before plunging it into an iron cradle of oil. Ignition was instant and violent. It sent shuddering firelight throughout the chamber, revealing the statues of fallen heroes carved from onyx and silently judging.
And who are we?
He asked, bellowing.
We are the Unscarred,
they declared in a roar.
Sons of Nocturne, salamanders and firedrakes, Vulcan's blood, and we shall never fail in our duty!
An iron lid was closed over the cradle, and the flame doused. So too the Crozius in Firefather's hand. Darkness returned, and the mood became somber again.
That is the meaning of sacrifice, uttered Firefather quietly,
turning as he left the chamber through its only archway.
Dismissed.
Prologue. An artifact. They called him an artisan, though Vulcan knew the truth of it. He was a warsmith, no different to his brothers Ferus and Perturabo. Inside the vault, he had wrought terrible wonders, all in the name of that calling. Wonders which he now wanted Tikal to destroy.
You are the first and only one of my sons to see this vault, Vulcan said to his forgemaster. Held safe within its walls is every artifact I have ever forged.
Muttering the name of the first Drake, Vulcan lit the torches around the chamber, and between the shadows the miracles he had created were revealed in one light. Despite the darkness, his eyes saw everything, every weapon he had ever made. He knew all of their names, for he had chosen each one. Song of Entropy, Igneous Hammer, Anvil of Desolation. Poetic, perhaps, indulgent certainly. Names had power, Vulcan knew. To name a thing was to give it identity, resonance. To name a thing was to make it real, tangible, and to breathe life into the lifeless. No mere things of steel or adamantium, these. They were Vulcan's legacy to his sons, and more revealing of his character than any tome or memoir. And even if he should return from Istvan V, they all had to be destroyed. The galaxy had changed. It was no longer a safe place for miracles, for evil had a way of twisting the miraculous into something terrible.
Such wonders, breathed Tikal,
and Vulcan saw a kind of fear in his son's eyes, as well as awe. Vulcan was going to war, for he too was an instrument of destruction. Only one that had been forged by his father's hammer upon an anvil of science and apotheosis. He wondered then if the Emperor ever had the same doubts about his creations. If he were to be given a choice, would he too destroy what he had created? Vulcan supposed it was too late for that now. Or perhaps that was what he, Ferus, Korax, Perturabo, and the others were doing by bringing Horus to heel. How Conrad must be laughing now. Vulcan had not realized his thoughts had made him pause, his gauntleted fingers poised to touch the haft of his spear until Tikel spoke again.
"I hope your indecision represents a change of heart, Primarch," said the Forge Master.
If only he knew the Primarch's inner turmoil in that moment. But then Vulcan supposed it was better that he did not.
"It does not. The artifacts must be destroyed. I am bound for Istvan, so cannot do it myself, which is why you must, Tikel."
"Then what is wrong, Primarch?"
Instead of the truth, Vulcan settled on a lie. He did not like lying to his sons, but it was small compared to the lies that had begun to unfold across the nascent Imperium. Lies of false gods and brothers killing brothers. Surely these were greater lies, for to consider them anything else was beyond countenance.
"I believed I had chosen poorly, although this feels right," he said, gripping the hammer Dawnbringer. "Fitting. Perhaps its epithet will see my brother illuminated after all."
It felt like a hollow thing to say. Ever since his last meeting with Horus, Vulcan knew deep down that another encounter between them would end in blood. The greater lies, he reminded himself, within which were woven a thread of truth.
"Primarch, I beseech you," said Tikel,
with something like desperation in his voice as he bowed on one knee.
"Please do not ask me to do this. At least say something."
Vulcan would have remonstrated with his Forge Master for such weakness, had he not seen Tikel's actions for what they truly were. Hope. He still believed that his father's creations could be used for good, to end war.
"There are weapons here that can destroy worlds, my son," he said, regarding the inside of the vault.
"Or save them from destruction," Tikel replied. "In the right hands."
"Mine?" asked Vulcan, looking down to meet Tikel's gaze. He saw the plea in his eyes, but also the pride. It gave Vulcan hope.
"Yes, or Lord Dawn, or Gilliman, even Russ."
"Rise, Forge Master. I would not have one of my sons beg me on his knees," said Vulcan,
and had to fight down his anger at seeing a salamander's legionary so humbled. "I am a teacher," he thought to himself, "not a king to be paid fealty to. Leave that pomposity to Gilliman. I'll have none of it."
"I am driven to it, Primarch,"
Tikel replied, but was back on his feet again. "Yes," thought Vulcan. "Tikel is the right choice. If there is even a chance that my craft can be put to good use in spite of what is to come, then Tikel is a worthy custodian of that charge."
"Very well, my lord."
Vulcan faced him.
"I said very well. Something should remain. If I destroy everything, then I have given up on hope and on seeing loyalty and honor endure in my brothers. I won't do that."
Tikel looked relieved, but Vulcan knew his mood would change as soon as he gave his next order.
"You are to remain here, Tikel. You won't come to the Istvan system. Your place is now on Nocturne and Prometheus."
"But Prima—"
"Do not defy me a second time," Vulcan warned. "I am not that tolerant." Tikel bowed his head. He had planned on taking the Forge Master with him, but he was glad now that he had an excuse not to. Vulcan felt the task his father had appointed them on Istvan ill-omened. It was not because Horus was an excellent military leader or a greater warrior, They were both better leaders and greater warriors amongst his brothers. It was the change in the War Master's spirit that bothered Vulcan the most, and all that it portended. If he could change, if the Crusade could alter his perception. Vulcan banished these thoughts. Nothing would change what was to come. But this, what he was about to ask Tekel to do, this he could still influence.
You shall become Forge Father, and keeper of the artifacts in this vault.
Forge Father,
said Tekel, confusion written upon his face.
Am I not your Forge Master, my lord?
Of course. A legionary can be more than one thing, Tekel. I'm entrusting you with this duty, just as I entrusted you with the vault.
What duty, Primarch? Name it and it shall be done.
To act as custodian. To swear you will protect these artifacts, and should anything happen to me, ensure they are well hidden, far from those who would seek to use them poorly.
Again Vulcan saw the pride in his son's eyes, but also the pain. He had no desire to leave his Primarch's side, but would do it anyway. That's how Vulcan knew he had chosen well. Tekel saluted fervently.
I swear it, Lord Vulcan.
Good. Choose 7 to remain, and only 7. 1 for each of our realms on Nocturne.
There are thousands in here, Primarch. How can I possibly...
Indeed there are, said Vulcan. As he armored himself for war, Vulcan found his mind drifting back to his last meeting with Horus. He would need to have words with Ferus before this was begun. The Gorgon had a temper not unlike the volcanic peaks of Medusa, but he would need to channel that before entering into a confrontation with Horus and the other renegades. In his abstraction, he had almost forgotten Tekel, but as he was leaving, he reminded him again of what he would allow.
7, Forge Father. That is what your Primarch decrees. I go to join with Ferus's fleet.
He felt a deep sense of foreboding that he kept from his son, that this would be the last time he would see Tekel, or the vault.
See it is done before I return.